Hello out there. Welcome to season 5 of Your Next Mission video podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today because we're going to be talking about something we all need to know about, our money. Thomas Racker from the Navy Federal Credit Union will talk you through some of the do's and don'ts of our personal finance. I guarantee you there will be some information in the discussion that will help you and your family. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our service members, veterans, families, and for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week. We love them too. Our show today is about personal finance, and hopefully yours is in great shape. But let's face it, at some point in your lives, most of us have struggled, and a lot of people are struggling right now. So I'm happy to introduce an expert. Thomas Racker, Jr. is the manager of the Personal Finance Department at the Navy Federal Credit Union. Thomas, thanks for joining the show. We're thrilled to have you on the show.
Excited to be here, Sergeant Major. Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of people want to hear about all this great information, but before I do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. So I've been with Navy Federal Credit Union for 18 years now. Started on the front line back in 2006, moved into a leadership role, and I've been managing our personal finance management team for about the last decade.
Oh, wow. Thomas, Do you have any military background at all? I think I asked that on the prep call.
You know, I never had the opportunity to serve, though I have had quite a few family members, including my father, who was enlisted during Vietnam and worked as a drill sergeant down in Texas for many years.
Thomas, what kind of counseling does the Navy Federal Credit Union provide its members?
That's a great question, Sergeant Major. Our counselors provide one-on-one financial counseling to about 10 to 15,000 of our members a month. And most of those folks find themselves going through some type of financial hardship. And that may include being deployed, going through a life-changing event, such as a divorce or birth of a child. It could involve leaving the military. I know that separation can cause financial hardship for folks. Or it could be something as simple as unemployment or underemployment. With all that being said, our counselors are here to help you with your goal setting, be it reaching a savings goal, preventing a financial hardship, or even when you just find that life is happening to you, give you some suggestions to help make ends meet and get back on track financially.
Yeah. Thomas, who are your members and who's eligible to sign up to be a member, I guess?
So Navy Federal has about 13 million members worldwide, and anyone that is affiliated with the Department of Defense, as well as their families, are eligible for membership.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, probably a big question a lot of people have, what kind of impact or results are you having when you counsel people? I mean, are you having an impact, I guess?
We hear a lot of feedback from our members that are feeling like they're at their wits' end, and they speak to a counselor. And for some folks, it's it's really that port in a storm. They may be losing hope, and just knowing that someone is out there caring for them, or giving them some encouragement, giving them some ideas they may not have thought of, is helping them be that first step towards getting back on track financially. But I'll tell you one of my favorite stories, and this shows you the impact that our counseling can have. We had a member that worked one-on-one with a counselor once or twice a year, about 3 or 4 years. And we got a great call recording where she calls in one day to speak to her counselor. She has an echo in the background and she says, "Hey, I'm sorry for the echo, but I just want to say this is the first time I'm not calling for help. I'm not calling for advice. I'm calling to tell you that because of all of your teaching and guidance through the years, I'm finally able to buy my first house. And I just wanted to say thank you." Shout out to Louisa, one of our amazing counselors that's been doing this for years. But that story has just stayed with me for all this time and really serves as a beacon for our wife for showing up every day.
Oh, man, that's a great story. I mean, that's a wonderful story. And that's great that she contacted and let you know. You and your team see a lot, you know, just like you were talking about, your team see a lot of people that are struggling. Is there financially struggling? Is there one thing that just shows up over and over and over again as a main problem, I guess?
Far and away, the most common thing that we see with individuals, regardless of their income, regardless of their age, regardless of where they're at in their careers, the most common thing that we see is not knowing where your money is going. Mm-hmm. Far and away, the first step, the most important thing that you can do is sit down with a pen and paper and say, this is how much money I have coming in. This is how much money I have going out. This is where it's going. And knowing, what does your cash flow look like? Do you have discretionary income? And we see it all the time. There's a ton of financial tools that you can use to do this. You could do it in Microsoft Excel. You can do it any number of ways. But knowing your numbers, just like for your health, knowing your blood pressure, all of your basic numbers is the first step towards getting on track financially. And if you don't know where your money's going, the rest of it doesn't really matter. The best laid plans don't mean a whole lot if you don't have good information to start out with.
Yeah. You know, Thomas, during my lifetime, I know when I first got married, me and my wife knew from the beginning that we had to live within our means. And I think nowadays a lot of people live, you know, way above their means with all these credit cards and everything else. With the medium home, though, prices in the new U.S. now over $400,000, the price of a car over $45,000, do you think it's harder today than maybe it was 10, 15, or even 5 years ago?
You know, looking back through the years, there's no question over the long term that the rate of home prices has far outpaced the rate of wage growth. Over the last 5 or 10 years, is it harder? Yeah, I think it's been harder for everyone over the last decade. And I think it's so important. Again, we talk about knowing your numbers, and that's the first step towards getting a handle on your finances and reaching your goals. One of the things that we tell folks, especially as we look at the home prices, we look at the price of new vehicles. And I'm really talking to the newly enlisted members here, though it's probably good advice for everyone. Be mindful of how you're spending that first paycheck. Be mindful of the decisions that you're making. One of the most frequent things that we see, especially with young adults, is going out and buying a cool car.
Yeah.
I think one of the most common stories I hear from folks that are on the military bases is a lot of people drive the Mustangs, the Chargers, the Challengers, and they're certainly cool vehicles. But if that's eating up a whole paycheck every month, that's not necessarily going to help you financially in the long term.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I think they got to start good practices at the beginning, just like me and my wife. I mean, we had, I can't remember what we had. We lived on a military installation, but we had about maybe $600 or $700 a month that we lived on. So we couldn't buy a whole lot of stuff. And she wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I was the only one working. So we knew right off the beginning, you know, what to do or what we thought we should do. Are you concerned about where people, you know, where kids, young kids in their 20s, maybe today financially, and what advice they're getting and where they're getting it from?
Oh, my goodness. So I know we see a lot of information coming out on social media nowadays, right? We talk about influencers and Instagram and TikTok. And the truth is there's some absolutely amazing information that can be had there. As with any expert that weighs in on anything, I encourage consumers, be mindful of the sources of your information. So it's okay to go on and get this great information in easily digestible chunks to boost your own knowledge base. But just be mindful, is someone selling something? What is their background? Are they putting something out there for clickbait, or are they genuinely interested in the consumer and trying to help you improve your situation? And then the other big piece with that, I would say, is lean on your family members, lean on your friends. There are people around you that have probably made mistakes or had some life experiences. Don't automatically just pick up your phone or your tablet for info. Ask questions of those around you. That's really the first step towards knowing more and being able to get some real world input and experiences to avoid pitfalls that others have made.
Yeah. I think the other thing, I don't know why we don't do it. Why don't we put some kind of financial education into our school system where young kids, young teens, you know, start talking about finances well before they get out at 18, 19, 20 years old and start get out in the real world and start, you know, getting that credit card and doing all the stuff they have to do. And I think that's the struggle.
You know, I love the question about the financial literacy piece, especially in the schools. I will say that right now, today's landscape nationally, there's about 25 states that require or are in the process of requiring some kind of financial literacy training in order to graduate.
This is
becoming more and more prevalent. But I'll tell you something that we have found. So Navy Federal has a great partnership in the Pensacola area. Called Parent University, and they go out every month as part of a larger initiative, and they meet with parents in the community to teach about budgeting, to teach about credit, and to answer one-on-one questions that folks may have. And one of the pieces of feedback that I've heard time and time again is that the kids are learning it, and they're coming home, and they may have questions, and the parents don't know the answers because no one ever taught them. No one ever sat down with them and said, this is how a budget works. So partnerships like that, resources in the community, going on social media and getting this input, whatever it is that's going to expand your own base and allow you to have these discussions at home, the tools are available, but it can't just be on the schools. It needs to be on the parents at home to have these discussions and reinforce good financial planning. You're right. Well before they're able to go out and open a credit card and take on student loans and other potential things that are going to be with them for a lot of years.
Well, I'm going to add to that a little bit. What if the family is struggling anyway, and you got a young adult and that they really can't give them that kind of advice? That's why it's so important that schools get in there and start talking about financial education at, you know, I don't know, probably the seventh, eighth grade or something like that would be a good place to start for most people.
Oh, I think it would be a tremendous thing to make it a part of the curriculum earlier and earlier in their education. Yeah. You know, a lot of things, when I graduated high school, it wasn't taught how to write a check, how to balance a checkbook, what the long-term impact of credit was, how you can build it, you know, how much should you be spending on different things month to month? I remember walking out of college and just expecting a big paycheck and a company car. And look how surprised I was when that wasn't there at my graduation. So, yeah, we need to be there to support the kids. And this should be something that is incorporated in their lives for years, not simply a few months before they graduate.
Hey, Thomas, I want you to take us through an example of what a typical household budget might look like right after we take a quick break. This is a great discussion. We're going to take a quick break, so don't go anywhere. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because we're talking about financial education for young adults from the Navy Federal Credit Union, it's going to help all of us. Please like us, click on that subscribe button below, and don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsor.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking about financial health with Thomas Recker from the Navy Federal Credit Union. Before we jump back into discussion, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we are excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a veterans community support program. We'll provide personal one-on-one support and address the unique needs within our veteran community through our many partnerships with our veteran service organizations. Please check us out at yournextmission.org/VCS and register to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever issues you and your family are facing. So please reach out to us. Thomas, we were talking earlier about some of the many people get into financial trouble because they don't know where their money is going. Could you take us through a basic example of budget that might help some people get started?
Absolutely. So budgeting is an incredibly varied and incredibly personal variance, and it can change up, right, from household to household. Mm-hmm. Some very broad strokes, though. I think the most common is what we refer to as the 50-30-20 rule. And for broad strokes, that can say 50% of your net income should be going to household needs. Usually, of your overall income, the largest expense is going to be your mortgage or your rent. And 30% is about the benchmark of your take home that you should be spending on housing in particular.
Yeah.
The 30% refers to your wants. And that can include covering your credit card debts. That can include your car payment. And then the last 20% should go to personal and to savings. Of course, savings is an incredibly important part of any household budget. And that should include money that you're putting into your retirement, as well as money that you're putting away for a rainy day. I can tell you, based on our experiences, life certainly happens to all of us, and having a little bit of a nest egg put away just to help with those unexpected expenses really can make the difference in your long-term peace of mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I know some folks may hear that 50-30-20 and they may say, well, that's really broad and there's unique things for my own household. One of the most common things we see is the expense of childcare, right? That looks very different if you have a couple of kids under the age of five versus if you have no kids at home. Those percentages may pivot pretty quickly. So I do just want to point out that there's a lot of variance baked into that. But very broad strokes, if you wanted to put numbers, and I don't know if we'll be sharing the link to the budget on Navy Federal's website, but 30% housing, 5-10% on utilities, 10-15% on food and transportation, And again, that 10 to 15% benchmark on savings. Just making sure that, again, you know where your money's going, and some general guidelines for your own unique situation.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I was going to say a minute ago, I thought I was rich. I bought a motorcycle and I paid it off. And I told my wife, I said, hey, let's just keep the money in savings and just let it grow. And I'm sure it was a long time, but I remember having $5,000 and I thought I was a millionaire. I thought I was loaded right there. So that was a pretty good one. How important do you think it is that, you know, when somebody's going to get, couples are getting, you know, people are going to get married, that they get their finance or talk about finance before they ever get married? Is that a pretty important thing for somebody that's, you know, couples that are going to get married to talk about that first?
Yeah, so I would argue that the decision of who you're going to spend your life with is probably the most important decision that you're ever going to make. And money is, by and large, the biggest thing the couples fight about. So it's distinctly possible to say that it might not be an understatement to say that the most important conversation you're going to have with your future spouse is, what are your outlook on money? What is your knowledge base? How comfortable are you with carrying debt? Some of the things that you really need to iron out before you take your vows are, what are the long-term financial goals? What are the home ownership prospects? How much are you comfortable putting into savings? What is the risk tolerance for investing? There's so many things to unpack, and having those conversations and being on the same page before you get married is going to alleviate a lot of potential headaches down the road. You make a great point about having a little bit of money in savings and wanting to go out and buy a motorcycle. And some folks may look at that $5,000 in savings and feel like they're rich. And some people may look at that $5,000 in savings and say, we need a lot more. And these are level setting conversations that are going to be so important to being true partners over the long term and being successful financially.
Yeah. We talked about financial education in school. You told me about the states, and I thought that was important. I wonder if they do the same thing with credit cards. Are they talking about credit cards when they're talking about financial education in those states?
You know, from what I've seen, and my oldest actually just finished one of these courses a couple of years ago. Credit's a part of it, but I think everything was talked about in very broad strokes. Mm-hmm. You could absolutely sprinkle financial conversations in for several years, to your point of making it kind of a norm in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. But I think, from what I've seen, it's very broad conversations, and a kid is only going to retain either what they need to pass the test or what they are genuinely engaged in. So is a 17-year-old kid being exposed to credit scores and making a budget and balancing a checking account? Yeah, absolutely. Is it something that they're actively going to put into practice when they're 18, 19, 20 years old? I think that's really going to depend on the kid and what the conversations look like in his social circles and at home. As with anyone, you can only give someone the tools and hope that they make the right decisions. But I will tell you, again, to my very first point, a lot of the folks that we speak with, they're not actively trying to get control of their finances until they see something going sideways. So forewarned is definitely forearmed, and I think it's something that we need to continue to prioritize and get in front of our young Americans more and more frequently, earlier and earlier.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that the fact that most people don't realize they have a problem until the problem is too huge a problem. I mean, it's still almost out of control, and it'll take them years to fix it. Is there an average time? I mean, when you talk to people about counseling, doing all those things, Is there an average time that it takes people, like 2 to 3 years or 4 to 5 years, to sort of work themselves out of financial issues or financial problems before they don't need your assistance anymore?
You know, the general rule of thumb is however long it took you to get into
that's going to take you to get out
hardship.
Of it.
That's how long it's going to take you to get out of it. Yeah, it's very similar. It's very similar to when you go to your doctor and, you know, you get your numbers and they tell you you need to eat right and exercise. You probably didn't gain that 20 pounds overnight, and you're not going to lose it overnight. And it's the same with your finances. Not to get too far ahead of myself, I've certainly seen people that have racked up tens of thousands of dollars of credit card debt very quickly. In that case, it can certainly take longer to dig out. But as a general rule of thumb, I think most people can turn around their situations pretty handily in a 2 to 5 year window, depending on severity, commitment to fixing their situation, and, you know, what do their resources look like?
Oh, wow. Thomas, this is a great discussion. I have a couple more questions for you. But first, like always, we need to take another break. Thank you so much. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations are helping this show be possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
Oh. A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission. Always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Thomas Recca from the Navy Federal Credit Union, who has been talking to us about personal finance. Remember, you know, this is your show. We know that there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, I say it every time, so please, 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 as I said before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll actually reach back out to you. Thomas, it can be difficult enough for civilians to plan for the retirement, but about 90% of our military service members transition out of the military long before they're actually retired. Is it harder for them to plan for their financial future?
It's a tremendous question, Sergeant Major. You know, I first heard that 90% number from you during one of our earlier discussions, and I was truly surprised. I really thought a lot of folks stayed in and did their 20 years and collected a retirement. So this question gave me some pause and made me think, what is some of the hardships that this population may be facing? Of course, by definition, most of our soldiers, sailors, and servicemen are young Americans, and the decisions that they make in that age bracket, like anyone in that age bracket, is going to have long-term ramifications and can really set you up for success or difficulties as you enter your 30s and 40s. I think one of the things that's going to be key to this population is planning it out, knowing what are some opportunities that the military affords us that enable us to avoid going into debt. And I think one of the biggest opportunities is being able to leverage the GI Bill and investing in yourself. That's going to enable you to become a higher earner and avoid student loan debt. You know, and then aside from that, when you start planning on transitioning from the military sector to come into the private sector, what is the transfer of skills and what are you going to do for a living? And as I said, the GI Bill and education is a great opportunity, but there are a lot of programs out there that can help you find a job. And one of the most impressive, I'll just give a little plug here, is SkillBridge. And that's a program that Navy Federal has been a partner with for the last 4 or 5 years in partnership with the DOD. And it enables select members to spend the last 3 to 6 months of their enlistment doing an internship with partner companies and allowing individuals to dip their toes in, try something else out, and make it an easier transition as your military career is winding down and allowing you to get some reps, get some experience, and move into a position in the private sector to just keep it smoother. And I think that type of thing is so important to keeping the continuity going and enabling your earnings to continue to maximize throughout your career.
Yeah, you know, I know about SkillBridge. You know, one of the reasons they started SkillBridge because they, I think at the time I was on active duty, they spent like $1 billion a year for soldiers or service members that were getting out of the service on unemployment. And now, and the Army was spending like $500 million, I think it was. I'm sure that number's came way down. So they want people to transition out of the military and get employment, sort of get that phase going right just as quickly as they can. This is probably a crazy question, but how important is it to you not to wait until you have a financial trouble to get some help or guidance? It seems to me there's a lot of people that wait too long to get that kind of guidance for assistance. How important is that, though, to get some guidance earlier?
You know, one of the best pieces of advice I've gotten in my life, and I think this applies to your career, your finances, your family, is get yourself a smoke detector and you won't need a fire extinguisher. If you look into things and getting them fixed at the first sign of trouble, it's a lot easier to get control and nip it in the bud as opposed to letting it get a little bit worse and a little bit worse. The level of effort that's going to be required is really can get exacerbated. And, you know, just put the effort in, know your numbers, and fix it as soon as it starts to become an issue. And you're going to be a lot happier and a lot more secure over the long term.
Yeah. What's the best way for someone to look into programs and counseling that the Navy Federal Credit Union offers? I mean, if I need assistance or need help, what's the best way for us to look into those kind of programs?
Absolutely. The easiest way is log on to www.navyfederal.org/PFC. And that will bring you to Personal Finance Management's landing page, which is chock full of resources. And if you would like to speak with a certified financial counselor, there is a link on that page as well. And if you just want to do a little bit of digging on your own, read articles, watch videos, go to NavyFederal.org and that landing page, you can search for Making Sense. And there are a tremendous amount of resources for you that are cataloged by whatever your financial goals may be.
Yeah, I would think a lot of veterans would like to talk to a counselor one-on-one. So is there there's probably a number on that website to contact somebody too, isn't there?
There is. There is an 888 phone number listed right there. And again, what we do with our members is we go through all of your income and your expenses. Mm-hmm. So if you call in, please do make sure to have those numbers handy. And if you're more comfortable filling out an application online, you can certainly log into your Navy Federal accounts. You can fill out a PFM information sheet. And once you enter all of your info and click submit, a counselor will reach out to you within 3 business days.
Yeah. You know, this has been a great discussion because nobody, I tell you the truth, nobody wants to talk about financial issues. I mean, they until they got a problem. And you brought that up real clearly all the way through the show. Any final thoughts you want to share with the audience? Anything maybe we missed or something you want to reemphasize to the audience here?
You know, I think that peace of mind is so much more important as we get older, and just recognizing that the decisions that you make today for your finances are going to stay with you for a long time. So have the discussion with your spouse, ask your friends and family for advice, do the research on your own, and just try to ensure that you're on top of your money and making sure that it's working for you and that you're not just working to try and plug a hole financially constantly. You'll be a lot happier in the long term, and there are a lot of people out here to help you with whatever your goals may be.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Thomas, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I really want to thank the Navy Federal Credit Union for everything they're doing for our veterans, and of course being a presenting sponsor to your next mission. You know, we couldn't get this information out to our veterans and military service members and their families without the support of the Navy Federal Credit Union. So again, I just want to thank you for all that you and the Navy Federal Credit Union are doing, and again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Really appreciate you having me, Sergeant Major. Thank you again, and best of luck to everyone out there.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks again to Thomas Recca for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. You'll find a short video that will help fine-tune your search and where you can also create your own personal profile. You can also follow me on my personal pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Thomas Recca from the Navy Federal Credit Union for joining us today. And I just, anytime you talk about finances, it's really something that most people don't want to talk about until you have problems. But you need to reach out to somebody like the Navy Federal Credit Union for counseling, for advice, and how to set up a solid budget for yourself. You know, I talked about my wife and me and my wife Gloria and me talking about how we live. We live month to month when there's a military. But really, you know, that turned out to be pretty good budget for us for forever. And that's the same way we're living now. We pay off our bills each month. We don't have any bills. We try to get through most of it. But don't do it alone. And don't wait. Don't wait until it's a problem that you can't fix, or it'll take you 3 to 4 to 5 years to fix it. So remember, there's people out there like the Navy Federal Credit Union that certainly wants to help you. So thanks for watching. Thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.